Crowdy and Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Who? Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Oh, thank Christ he's back.
Wait a minute. I didn't know you'd notice any difference because you do all the work.
I do.
You work. You carry the show. So what difference does it make if I'm here or not here?
True.
Okay,
it's true.
Well, there we go.
Why don't you leave? No, that's true, except for it's the part, you know, where the work comes. The work comes in attempting to steer guys who aren't, don't have the radio savvy.
But I don't have that. You carry me.
No, I know, but here's what you're like.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
You're like a dog who lives near an army base who does nothing but is used to the shells going off.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to chase you around the yard.
Yeah.
You're not digging a hole.
Right.
You can
not
just
crapping everywhere.
You nap through it.
Yeah, not peeing on things, crapping.
Yeah, you don't do anything, but the shells, the artillery shells,
don't get in the way.
Yeah,
my job.
Yeah, you're not chewing anything. You're just going to. You just nap through it. So I don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you where a lot of the work comes is first off you get a rotating cast of doctors in here, and just about the time I get used to saying the one guy's name, the next guy comes in the following night. So here's the whole thing about radio, everybody. You talk for 2 hours, and the idea is not to think. It makes it much easier. And that's what most radio shows do. And when I say board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, that's easy.
Filler.
It's filler.
Right.
We got to go to the news. We got to go to the weather.
Right, right.
Hey, we got two for Tuesday coming up.
Right.
That's checking in with the weather, sky cap, blah, blah, blah. That's it. Eventually, if you can get enough of that, you can put it together.
Hours.
You can build a whole radio show around that. You'd be high as a kite.
No, you've had an operation since I was here.
Hold on a second. Okay. I'm just saying it makes it easier. When something changes, you have to remember. Like you go, welcome back to Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Bruce Hensel. There's a little hiccup.
You have to think.
For a second, pow.
Yeah.
That's what happens. You have
you're
to think.
You're not doing radio. Then you think, where am I?
Yeah, you become like a waiter who someone pipes up and says, what are the specials today? And you go, and the guy goes, we got a Chilean. Oh, Christ, you can tell he's got to think now, and now he's pissed off. So anyway, it was a week of that. Everyone did a yeoman's job. Alter's always a good time. And did I learn anything new about Doc Alter and his procedures? Well. His book is number like 7,055 on Amazon, maybe 70,000 or something. Like it's crazy. It went with all the packed up penises. The picture of the forearm with the penis on it, I think we sort of thought there's my favorite picture in this book of genital reassignment is the one where there's a penis being grown on a forearm like a host. I was sort of under the impression that it was there for blood supply and that it was actually being nurtured there. That's very temporary. Just they actually build it in a couple hours and pull it off.
Right. You just show
it. It sort of seems like, and everyone else, even Bruce Hensel, the doctor, looked at it and thought it was there for a couple of weeks.
Huh.
Anyway, the thing that's surprising is how fast everything goes.
Mm.
The penis is off, the balls are splayed, the chicken is in the pot, soup to nuts, and it's like 45 minutes. There's stuff done. Like if you're getting gender reassignment, and you change your mind, you better do it in the first 30 seconds because you do it in minute 12. Your nuts are in the incinerator. What do you mean? We're picking out lipstick shades. We're done. Yeah, I mean, stuff's getting peeled back. So, and just the microsurgery that's going on with the blood, keeping the thing and pulling the sack and putting it. And you got to keep the hair off the sack because that comes in and forms the vagina.
Oh, that's.
And then you can't have hair growing in there.
Can't have a hairy vagina.
Well, think about
not
the
inside.
Sack.
No.
Think about mine looks like a Chinaman's beard.
Ugh.
Imagine what would be going on inside of there.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, surgery.
Yeah.
Drew was asking
Let's
me
see
about.
The excision sites.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had the surgery to get my head to quit sweating so much. Yeah, I just worked out, so I'm all sweaty. So I got the one here and the one here and then one in my armpit and then one halfway down my rib cage, and I got the other one on the other side.
Did it with the endoscope?
I don't know.
They put a scope inside you and look around.
I don't sweat the details. But let me tell you this. I got a few things to say about it.
Did they let you leave your underwear on?
No. No, they did not. No, they did not.
Did you make a big deal about that?
Yes. Yeah, I'll tell you what I made a big... I'll tell you what I did. Mm. And this is something that we've talked about on this show a few times.
Yeah.
Stuff we're done with and stuff we're not done with, which is... There's inventions we keep moving forward with, like bottle openers and can openers and stuff. Like, okay, that's good enough. We're done. We had one that worked a long time ago. Now, the paint can, for instance, which has remained unchanged since 1855, where you bang the metal lid on it, it gets bent, it gets crusty, and the paint builds up. Paint builds up in the trough. Yeah. Somebody could work on that.
Yeah.
Feel free to work on that.
They changed the oil cans.
They
bottles out of them.
Somebody finally put a screw cap on the thing so you could be a human being instead of ramming that sharp spout into the thing with the cardboard and having
people don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The point is there's certain things we keep working on that we could leave alone.
Yeah.
And then there's other things. Somebody did that thing that the dealers, when they changed dealers in Vegas, you know, I'm done. And that was 100 years ago, the hospital gown.
Oh, yeah.
As I was standing, you know, they do that thing. They give you the bag and put your clothes in here. Here's the gown. We're going to need you to take everything off. And I said, everything? And my underpants? Yeah, we're going to need it. Okay. And then we're going to need you to put the gown on. And it's all this sort of one-size-fits-all thing. And you put it. I'm convinced the hospital gown is there so you don't try to make a break for it.
Yeah, basically.
Because when you're in this thing, you feel like... You're exposed.
Yeah.
You're exposed
to
the world. Like if you ran outside of this building, your nuts would hit you in the face. You'd be tackled by cops. Your legs would be
akimbo.
You'd
look like a madman just walking.
Yes,
there.
Yes. So it's made for you to walk. You have to shuffle your feet. You can't even bend your knees when you walk with this thing. You're scared something's going to hang out. So anyway, they give you the gown. You pull the thing on, and then I found myself doing that thing where I'm trying to tie the bow with the thing, and I'm looking, and then I do a thing where I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm looking over my shoulder, and I'm staring at my hairy crack, and I'm doing that thing, you know, when you look in the mirror, you get inverted, you get backwards, and I'm tying, and then I get to the point where I yank the whole thing around to the side of my neck so I can get a thing, and I'm tying, and then about 11 minutes into that, a steam starts coming out of my ears, like, what? No bathrobe? There's just... And so I went out there, and of course, you know, all the Taiwanese nurses, they're all Filipino or whatever. Yeah, well, and I'm like, look, has this thing changed? Has this thing changed since the Civil War? Are we done with this? Is this done? Who signed off on this? Who said there could be no modifications made to this? It's perfect. It's the perfect device. It could never be improved. And really, this ain't 70 years old. This is 170 years old, and it sucks. It sucked in the pre-Civil War days when it was originally designed. It sucks now. I can't get my hand. I can't tie the thing. My ass is hanging out. I'm going to strangle myself with the collar. I'm going to be climbing into this gurney. I hope you Asian broads like nuts because here they come. Got a nice serving of hot nuts. You guys fly United first class. You give it a cup of hot nuts. It's going to be like that. There's going to be a lot of nut. I mean, a lot of nut and some shriveled penis because I'm a little nervous. A lot of nut. Mostly nut and some, mostly sack and some penis coming. There's going to be a lot of hair, so it's going to be confusing, but you really need to focus. Maybe a little gas will escape if you're lucky. I'll be crawling on here. Listen, you guys focus on the bed. I'm going to be focusing on trying to keep the gown pushed down between the legs as we adjust. You guys all be at my feet, by the way.
Yeah, looking at the nuts.
Yeah, you guys will all be in position to experience the sack. I'll be attempting to get in thing, but meanwhile, this thing's going to be pulling around. And my ass cheek's going to hang out, like, but no underpants.
No,
because those could spontaneously go up in flames.
Yes.
You wouldn't want
that.
These
cotton.
They're
perfect.
I mean, anyone, cotton, first rate killer.
Yeah, of course.
I can't imagine all the deaths on the operating table from underpants
exploding
into flames spontaneously before some proud pioneer installed this piece of legislation that said I had to give it up. So
did you go home the same day?
Yeah, well, that's all that. I wanted to go home. Like, soon as when I woke up, I want to get out of here. Doctor wants to talk. Doctors do a lot. Here's the other thing, too, I've realized. Okay, first off, I had that thing where the chick next to me started freaking out, which is always a bad scene.
Huh.
You know, she started coming out. And chicks are lightweight.
Oh, crying,
you know?
And stuff.
She started coming out of her thing, yeah. And she screamed for her mom and like kicking and people, you know, then the crazy Filipino nurses come over and they're like, you stop now, you know, and then she's like, I'm on, and there's like some struggling and you hear stuff get knocked over and I'm just like, hello, this is uncomfortable. Hello, maybe I should send my nuts over.
Can I go home?
Yeah, I'd like to go home. And they're always like, the doctor's going to need it. I know. Here's the whole thing. And this is, okay, I want to say this to you, Drew. You're a doctor. I don't need to talk to him. I need to go home. You got something to... I've heard it all. Call me later. Let me get the F out of here. But the doctor's going to want to...
You didn't drive yourself
home. No, but I could have. All the doctor stuff, it's always repetition. And here's the other thing, too. All these guys, all the hospitals, they got one mode, by the way. And they kept saying to me, you don't seem nervous. You don't seem nervous. And it's a whole succession of people coming by wanting to know why you're not more nervous or why you're not more agitated. And I just tell people, look, if I'm going to sleep, I don't care if I die. It's not that big. I don't care. If I don't know it, I don't care. I really mean it. You put me under, do what you want. Make a gay porn and then a snuff film, fine. Sell it to Blockbuster.
Nice.
I don't care. I'm going under.
Nice.
I don't care. Now, you tell me I got to get myself a little root canal, and I'm going to be around for a couple hours to, you know, nice and lucid to experience the grinds, the sounds, all the great stuff that goes along with it that I care about. You put me to sleep, do what you want.
There you go.
So they put me to sleep. They gave me this thing. Woke up, felt like a mule kicked me in the sternum.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I just...
What?
I just wanted to get out of there. Here's the other thing, too. Listen, and I don't know what you do over there, Drew, but, you know, they got the little... you want something to eat? Because, you know, they tell you, don't eat. You can't eat the night before.
Right.
You can't eat that morning.
Right.
You can't drink. You can't eat. By the time you come out of the thing, it's 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You're going on 19 hours of not eating.
Yep.
And then it's like, would you like something to eat? Would you like some crackers? Yeah. You get the saltines in the packet. Yeah.
Really?
And just send one of the nurses out going a nil away for run or something. You know, center of the market. Go grab some crackers. Not the stuff you got with the soup at the diner. You know, and it's like you're sort of half high and you're trying to break open the saltines and you crush one of them in the process.
Plus, and your mouth is dry from the medication. Now you're trying to chew crackers.
When's the last time you enjoyed a saltine but past the age of 9?
Yeah.
You know, just go get some goddamn crackers. This is the kind of... By the way, the guy was great. Everything was great. Everything worked out. Everything was beautiful.
His head doesn't sweat.
It's crazy, Drew.
So
it's crazy.
Better.
It's crazy. This is bone dry. Bone dry. Here's the thing.
Wow. Here's
the thing. I just worked out. My head's bone dry.
Are you sweating other places?
Yeah, sweat everywhere. But
like a normal person.
Yeah, like a normal person. My head's bone dry. It's crazy.
Now I'm going to change your emotional life in any way. Because now you're a sympathetic blockade. Does it?
I left my wife.
Oh, man.
I started dating a 19-year-old.
Wow, it makes a huge difference.
I got a convertible.
Wow. You're gay.
I've always wanted to sing. I started singing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I'm a new man, Drew. You've been gone for a week. Chris, no, I've been the last 20 minutes of each show, it's been song requests.
What, Chris? What?
All right. He's fine.
Yeah. He's a different man now.
I'm a new man.
Oh.
I'm a confident man.
That's good.
All right. Here's all I'm saying. Doctors, everybody, good. You got to do better in saltines. You got to do better in
and
saltines.
And better than the gown. Got it.
Triscuits. And the gown. The gown. Or let me have the underpants. Or here's it. Some brave pioneer invent a pair of underpants that can be worn during
surgery. How about hospital underpants? Something like that.
Well,
then you'll care.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And by the way, how much old man sack do you guys really need to see?
Yeah, you have the overflowing sack, too. So.
Yes, a cascading sack.
Yeah, my God. I'm just imagining.
A lot of sack.
A lot of people running for cover and
stuff. I'm sure the nurses are still
buzzing. I bet that hospital will be the pioneer in the new gowns.
Let me tell you, after...
Well, they have an employee problem.
After my 20-minute soliloquy in the hall with the ass hanging out in front of... crazy gesticulations, arms flying, nurses not knowing what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, it's great. Amy?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, I have a
problem, you know. I don't. It's more like a question and thing.
Yeah.
You see, I was dating this one guy, and I have a question. Can you get pregnant from doing it from the back?
You mean doggy style?
Yeah.
Or do you mean anal sex?
Yeah, that anal.
Yeah.
Can you get pregnant from anal? How would that work? How would that happen?
Well, like, you know, regular, doing it from the back.
No, how would the sperm get to your uterus?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just asking, can you?
No. All right. Hey, Amy.
Yes?
She had Crohn's disease.
First thing...
She does?
Do you have Crohn's?
Oh, if she had Crohn's, if she had fistulas, yeah.
Okay. Oh, if you had fistulas. All right.
Well done.
Amy.
Yes?
First thing I need to do is, are you out of school now?
Yes.
But you'll be going back in the fall?
Yes.
I need to find your health teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to walk up to him like
no.
you want to shake his hand, and
no.
then I need you to throw a karate-style knee right to the groin. And when he keels over, drop the double-fisted hand right on the back of his head and look at him, and then spit on him while he's reeling
Put an
on the ground.
In him somewhere.
And yell, "You failed me. You failed me horribly."
Yeah.
Right. No, I never took health, though.
Oh.
I never took health.
Well, then he failed you by not insisting that you take health.
All right. I need you to, next time you see your dad... I need you to extend your hand as if you're shaking it. Yeah. Where is your dad?
My dad's in Florida right now, and I'm just with
Florida. I was thinking to myself, Arizona? She's in Arizona.
Yeah,
it sounds
dad's
so Floridian.
In Florida. Yeah.
Perfect.
What is your dad doing in Florida?
He lives in Florida. My parents are divorced, and I'm with my mom.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, baby doll. No, you can't get pregnant via
the anal butt. Okay, yeah, but see, this is one main concern. How the heck is it that I'm 2 weeks late?
You can be late on your period and not be pregnant. It's the most common reason for a late period, and you certainly can get a pregnancy test to be sure. Because God knows, maybe something leaked out or got in his hands or who knows what he was doing to
you. Do you have anal sex exclusively, or do you have any regular sex?
No, you see, okay, I only had that one... I only did it that one time, only from the anal, not
Why?
From the front.
Why did you do it that way?
Because I'm a very religious person, and I believe, you know, best save it, you know, for when you really need it. I'm very religious that way, and I believe, period.
Let's just take that in.
Now, this is... Listen. Okay, what I'm going to need you to do, Amy, is when you go to church on Sunday, I need you to walk up to the reverend's hand. I'm going to walk him in. I need you to extend your hand to him. Like, you want to shake his hand?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to need you to knee him to the groin. And when he keels over, I want you to drop an elbow on the back of his neck, right where the spine goes across there. Yeah. And then kick him once in the stomach and then spit on him and yell, "You failed me horribly." And then I want you to look up at Jesus on the cross.
He'll be crying at that point.
He'll be crying. And I want you to make a fist and yell, "You're next."
Okay. All right, but not
listen. Though. Are you real? Is this bogus or are you that dumb?
What do you mean? Am I that dumb?
How dare you, Adam? How dare you?
This is insane. What is your religion, by the way?
I'm Catholic.
and you're virgin?
Yeah, well, I'm a virgin.
That has had anal sex.
Okay. Yeah, and that was my other thing. Are you still a virgin if you have anal sex?
No.
What?
No.
Holy! Oh my God!
All right. If this was a guy, you would think it was bogus.
I know,
for
but
sure.
It's real, I think.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You're technically still a virgin, but virginity is not a technicality.
No.
And you've been very sexual and are no longer chaste. So the whole idea of virginity and modesty.
The Lord
does not apply.
Is very upset. Very upset.
Oh, my God. You have to be kidding.
No. I never kid when it comes to fairy tales and guys in diapers with beards.
Oh, my God.
He's very upset.
And God. I am very upset now.
You sound ruined, baby.
Oh, God. Yeah.
All right. This is bogus. Would you please just tell us this is bogus so we can get on with our lives?
Okay. This is bogus.
All right. There we
Thank
go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
She had a little... there's probably a guy putting her,
of course,
putting her up to it.
Of course.
All right.
But she'd be good.
She
entertaining enough.
She seems stupid.
Yeah.
Said her dad lived in Florida.
Yeah. That's good.
Do you think her dad really lived in Florida?
Let's ask.
Amy?
Yeah?
Does your dad really live in Florida?
Yeah, he lives in Miami.
Okay.
And who's the guy that put you up to this?
My boyfriend.
Wow. No, okay.
Boyfriend. All right, there we go. Fits.
Yeah. This is the whole thing.
Yeah.
There are no women bogus callers. They're women bogus puppet callers.
Actresses.
They're actresses.
They're not bogus callers.
They're guys. There's always a man behind
who casted the role and gave him the script and said,
"That's right."
And I'm sure the boyfriend's going, "Amy, you are funny. You know what? We got to have you."
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do, Amy.
Yeah.
I got a plan. Guys always got plans for their girlfriend.
Yeah. Right? And believe me, he's going to use this as a segue, too. It's going to be like, that was funny about the anal sex call. Man, wouldn't it be weird if we did do it that way? You know, speaking of anal. Yeah. He's going to use that.
Of course.
Stepping stone.
Men are, males are diabolical.
Brandon?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
All right, hold on a second.
Really, I'm sure he actually probably had a war room discussion beforehand. The models of him and the phone and us.
Drew.
Yeah.
How was, we can talk to Brandon for a second, but we got to go to break. But yeah. How was Boston?
Fabulous.
It was a good time?
Very good time.
Weather good?
Amazing.
What were we there for? 6 days? 5 days?
I wasn't on the Cape a lot of the time. I went to Washington quickly.
Went to the Cape?
Cape Cod, yeah. And I went to Nantucket.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird. Growing up out in North Hollywood, all the Capes and the Tuckets and the Martha's Vineyards.
Might as well be England in 1750.
Even further away.
Yeah, it's like the Dickens novel or something.
Like, I can guarantee that everyone, first off, it never came up.
Yeah.
Like in the Corolla house, the Capes and the vineyards and the things, it didn't exist as far as I knew. I didn't never heard about it until I was like in my...
I'm not sure there is anything further away from North Hollywood in terms of spiritually.
Yeah, you heard about it. Once in a while, there's like some sort of Kennedy compound discussion,
but that was just some
sort of fairy tale.
Hyannis, right.
It was like Valhalla or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't even know. Yeah. And the discussion of anyone, we never knew anybody, never heard anybody. There was somebody who lived in Philadelphia. That was like, that's as far away and as exotic as it ever got. And I don't think I ever even knew until 4 years ago. Like, I still couldn't find these places on the map or tell you where they were.
All right,
so you did the Cape, the Cape Cod?
Cape Cod, yeah.
And you were in Boston for a while?
Nantucket, and then Washington, back. And my daughter was in an ice skating competition.
Yeah, how'd she do?
They just killed. They just creamed
everybody. What do you mean they?
Well, she's in an ice theater troupe.
Ah.
And so we're with a group of families. We had a lot of fun.
All right.
It was good.
Did your wife drive everyone nuts?
No, she was very good. She had really good times.
All right, you must have darted her. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Our guest tonight, Dr. Drew, everybody, in the hizzy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Well rested, well healed.
So what about the emotional? We're going to finish our discussion about surgery here.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any emotional?
Yeah.
What?
I'll tell you, I've been on the brink of like a nervous breakdown, like the last, like from the time I got my surgery till about 20 minutes ago.
Does that mean like anxiety or?
No.
What does that mean?
Like angry and moody, super irritable, nothing's going right. Why can't people,
you're taking
you know?
A little Vicodin.
So what's different than
Bunch of Vicodin. No, usually I'm just, it's just a lot of smoke and mirrors. This time I mean it.
Yeah,
like I'm driving everyone nuts around me. I'm depressed and angry. Yeah, I was taking too much. I was taking too much Vicodin and stuff too.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping right. I was getting up. I had surgery.
Had your sleep apnea corrected at the same time.
I got up at
the thing to do.
I got up Sunday morning at 5:45.
Wow.
Jumped out of
surgery
bed.
Surgery was Saturday?
Saturday about 1 in the afternoon. Wow. I got up at 5:45 Sunday morning and started hanging doors at my house.
Oh, that's smart.
Like a maniac.
Wow.
Yeah. And then just went all the way through and then started getting all moody and depressed and irritable. Yeah. It's weird.
We got to look at what they did here.
Drew's going to find out what they did to me.
Okay, let's take a call.
All right, let's take a call. Brandon?
Yes.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up? Oh, the other thing, too, is my hernia started flaring out of control.
Oh, you're going to love getting that correct.
I'm going Wednesday.
I
got to go.
That's fine. You do have to go, but you're not coming back here Wednesday night.
I'll be here.
You will not be here with Adam. Adam.
My
seriously.
Balls hurt. Yeah, they'll never heal.
Bruce, I dropped my shorts. Dr. Hensel last night went,
you better
get going now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a phone call tomorrow kind of thing. Yeah, you know what I figured out? You know, I've had my hernia for like 10 years, hasn't made a move. My hernia thought it was getting surgery Saturday. And I realized it was like, you know when you open a can of tuna and your dog thinks it's dog food? Yeah. And your dog's like, here we go. We're eating? It's time to eat. My hernia, you know, I must have started getting like the ether and the gas and the stuff and the gown. And my hernia was like, it's about time.
Yeah.
Take care of this. That's why we need the underpants taken.
Have you met with a surgeon yet?
I met with your guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About 4 or 5 months ago, or maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and he told me in the next few months it's going to be time. And this whole thing just got it made its move the last couple of days.
So you did it Wednesday.
It's game on.
This coming Wednesday.
Yeah, because it's going to break now.
Why don't you do it like tomorrow or it's Friday?
Do
Friday.
The guy, I can't tell him when
to
do it.
Have you called and asked for a date?
Yeah, it took him 2 days to call me back. Could have been dead. Could have answered the phone dead. Hello? Hey, yeah, we'd like this guy. Hey, it's too late, I'm dead. Wow, you're quite articulate.
You're going to do it at Huntington?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to love this. I'm going to go visit you.
Please.
This is not fun. I had the bilateral double hernia done last year, and it was bad. Times.
I know, but I got a higher threshold for than
you. Yeah, you don't, just take that night off, seriously.
All right, well.
All right. At least the one night. I think I came in the second night.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
When you were gone, Adam was impersonating you, doing opera and singing. He said you were bitching quite a bit, and that's what that was.
I see.
When you got your hernia.
My balls hurt.
This is you.
They'll never heal.
Quite funny.
It was good. It sounds like me. That wrapped my surgery around.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew's really built me up for this. And I don't know, can you get two procedures done in like 10 days?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Yeah. Listen, I always land on my feet, buddy. Brandon?
Yes.
You're 16?
Right.
What's happening?
I think I have a masturbation problem. Something like on average, I do it 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get like 7 times a day and my penis starts getting sore. And I was wondering if that can have any issues later in life.
We're having only boga calls tonight?
Yeah. All right. Why don't you slow it down a little then, jackass?
Yeah. Only bogus calls. Yep, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, with all these, you know, whenever I call, like, I keep beating off, and my honker starts bleeding, but I do it again anyway. Is that going to hurt me for, is it going to fall off for later?
No question. What'd you call for?
Yeah, it's equivalent to saying like I take a ballpoint pen and I grind it into my wrist and I don't stop and it starts turning red and then it starts bleeding.
I can't feel my wrist.
No, it starts hurting.
Is that a problem?
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Idiots. Steven?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, he's gonna do another bonus.
What do you want?
I'm just wondering if the penis has to be a certain length to get a girl pregnant.
No.
It doesn't?
No.
I was reading somewhere online that it has to reach into the cervix or something.
No, it doesn't.
Sperm does the swimming, right?
By the way, the cervix in some women is about second knuckle deep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, especially if you make the fist, you'll... Yeah.
No.
I do the fist thing. Steven?
Yeah.
Why, how big's your penis?
About 4.5 inches.
How many?
4.5.
All right, that's fine. You can get people pregnant.
Okay. We're having a hard time with...
Yeah? You having a hard time?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get someone pregnant?
Yeah.
Why?
We just want a baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
God thinks you don't need a baby.
How old is your girlfriend?
She's 17. She's about
17. Old maid. Does she want a baby?
Yeah.
She might be pregnant at 17?
Yeah, she does.
You know, Steven, I don't judge.
Can't judge.
Why I don't? Yeah, I don't judge because I can't, because everything's the same and everything's beautiful and nothing's bad and all cultures are fantastic and all actions are the same. But this is effing stupid.
How come?
I don't know what you're doing, but I'm guessing you could be doing more. you could make more money, you could have a better career, you could be better educated, you could drive a nicer truck. I was going to say car.
No.
I'm going with truck.
Watch it now.
You could own your own home, Stephen?
Right.
Do you work?
Yeah, I work.
Where do you work?
I work at a car wash.
Unless you own, and I was going to say a car wash, but 10 car washes. I don't want to hear about it. What do you do at the car wash?
I'm a mechanic.
Mechanic at the car wash.
You operate the actual machinery at the car wash?
Keep the machinery going?
No, I don't work on... I work on cars.
At the car wash?
Yeah, we have a shop there, too.
Well, right. Oil changing. Like
what do you bringing down an hour?
An hour? I make commission.
How much you make in a week?
A week? Probably about $800, $900.
All right. That's fine for a 21-year-old, but it's not enough for daddy. You need to do better than that. And she's 17. She shouldn't be raising anything at 17. Get her an ant farm.
I don't know what the age of consent is in Texas, but it may also be illegal, by the way.
Here's the thing. Look, here's what your kid is like. Your kid is like an art project, and at 17, you're not a good artist. So what is your project going to look like when you're done with
that's
it?
That's right, before you've trained.
It's going to be crappy.
Yeah.
It's not going to look good. It's going to get a, give it a D minus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, what did your art look like when you were five?
You're a sculptor.
Yeah.
You are going to sculpt this.
A person.
You are going to sculpt a person, and you're not much of an artist at 17.
Right.
You are going to make the world's crampiest ashtray.
Right.
That's what you're going to end up with. And will the ashtray work? Can you put a cigarette in it? Yeah. And is it going to end up in jail? Maybe not. But... would it be better if you waited 10 years and you got a little training and learned what you were doing? Of course. So why do it? Why screw it up at 17?
So did he clip one of the ganglion along the side here? Is this the deal?
He put some probe in each side of my chest.
Spine.
And went right through it down the middle of the front part.
Yeah, but see these sympathetic ganglia here that run around the spine?
Yeah, I don't.
Is that what he went for?
I don't know what he went for. He burned something out. He showed me a picture.
It's red.
Well, here's the thing, too. You're high as a kite. Like you know, you've been under. It feels like you got into a boating accident and basically you woke up in the hospital. You know, and then they're showing you a picture. Your guts, and it's like. By the way, could have been a picture. Could have been a hysterectomy. He was showing me a picture of it, and he was like, "You see what we did here? We took this. Okay. Listen, what about the saltines? What about those? Didn't I get a penny and a half worth of saltines? How about some of that? And that other thing they give you? Get me going.
They give you
the one in the one in the pouch.
Yeah. The pouch.
But it was like between the saltines and the thing you're sucking on with the straw in the pouch, it's like, okay, when's nap time? When's playtime over? It's like, hey, you got anything for the adults over here? And by the way, it's Saturday. I might be drinking a beer at this time anyway. If ever I could use a brew, it would be now. How about you pop a Michelob Light over there? Is it when I get
how
home?
How funny would that be?
Yeah,
it's a bartender.
I'm in a beer. I mean, look, if you can, I'm drinking on a plane. Now's the time. You know what I'm saying? I could use a smoke and a nip right now. Those are
you smoked immediately as soon as you got home, didn't you?
No, the juice and the I don't smoke till the middle of the night.
Oh, okay, four hours later.
It's my thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I smoked till 12:30 at night.
Yeah, but that same night you smoked, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I missed a glass of wine, a little. That was fine. All right. Where are we talking to, Drew?
Chris.
Oh, this guy? Oh, I got it. Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, this is Chris.
How about giving a patient a beer every once in a while? Cool. You'd be the cool doc.
Yeah.
What's happening, Chris? You're 22?
I'm the narc doc, though.
Yeah, 22. Yeah, just got back from Iraq in December.
Mm-hmm.
Served with the 4th Infantry Division over there. And I've been having some problems just kind of... dealing with everyday life, I guess.
Yeah. What did you do over there in Iraq?
I was in the infantry.
Mm-hmm. Did you see some action?
Yeah, I saw some action.
Did most everybody who was over there in the infantry see action?
Not everybody. At least most parts, if you you were over there for more than 6 months, you're going to see it eventually. I mean,
okay.
That's the name of the game. That's just your business.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 6 months, from April to September.
Why'd they send you back?
I was actually supposed to get out in May of 2003, but they extended me for the stop loss and extended me 6 months for the war.
I see. And now it's are you having a post-traumatic stress disorder or something?
I'm not really sure what it is. Just like every once in a while, I have a if I'm not on the highway, not in the car, I get a general fear of roads. I just get this eerie feeling, and like I hear fireworks and I get all freaked out. If I hear the Disneyland fireworks going off at night, I get all freaked out. I think it's mortars or something like that.
Well, you know, especially the road thing, I can imagine, because most everybody was ambushed. I mean, most of the casualties were on the roads, right?
Yeah, roads and checkpoints.
Yeah, so they're driving down the road.
Must have been horrible.
Yeah. It's been freaky thinking you're in someone's crosshairs the whole time, and they got some, you know.
Yeah, you get used to that for a while. I just don't think about it.
Yeah, I know, but you do, because you're here and you're thinking about it.
Right.
Oh, yeah, now I am.
Well, but before you were, too, you just learned to live with it, and it sort of affects your brain and it's sort of the state it's in. And it's a state of hypervigilance and hyperstimulation. And, yeah, do you have night terrors and that sort of thing? You wake up in a sweat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does the military offer you any sort of opportunity for treatment for that? Because you
they do with the VA.
You might want to check it out, because you're not describing a full-blown syndrome, but you definitely have features of it, which is phobias of the kinds of circumstances that you're exposed to, night terrors, anxiety, irritability, depression. This is flashbacks. This is all part of post-traumatic stress disorder. And to some extent, you're supposed to get some of that. I mean, you were in these incredible circumstances. It takes a while to get over that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be alive if you didn't come back a little bit freaked out.
Yeah.
So go to the VA and avail yourself of their services.
Well, if there's one thing VA knows how to handle, it's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because that's what everyone comes back with. And hopefully it'll be something that'll just kind of pass. There's various ways of classifying it, but most of these get better by themselves.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back,
we're going to get a fantastic call.
We'll get a fantastic call after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Patton Oswalt is going to be in here tomorrow night, as well as Brian Posehn. One guy's really tall, the other guy's really short. You'd recognize him if you saw him. They're very funny, and they'll be in here tomorrow night, and I'm not sure what they're plugging, but we'll find that out then.
Just do this one thing. Just this one little thing. Hold on.
I want to know about my vagina.
That's them, everybody. All right. Drew, back in the hizzy. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll speak to Ross. Ross is one of these names, by the way. There's certain names that are popular names, except for no one's named it.
Right.
Ross is that name.
Yeah.
Ross, sure. Very popular.
Everyone
name.
Knows a Ross.
And then it's like...
No.
Well, there's the fictitious Ross from Friends.
And that's it? With Ross Porter.
There was Ross Porter, who was an announcer for the Dodgers for some years.
And that can't be his real name.
The point is I know everyone's thinking of a Ross right now, but is there a more popular or more well-known name that no one has named other than Ross?
That's the one.
Do you know a Ross?
No.
Is there any Rosses?
No.
How's that work?
Yeah.
How's it get out?
It's one of those words, too, that if you keep repeating it, it loses its meaning. It starts sounding weird.
Ross. Yeah, it starts bleeding into the next one. Yeah, I know a guy named Char. No, that's you
that was Ross.
That was the S from the Ross before, and then you ended it with the R from the beginning one, the third Ross. Yeah, it must have a great publicist, Ross, because it's the world's most popular name, except for no one is named Ross. Ross.
Yeah.
You're 26.
Yes, I am.
Do you know any other Rosses?
Ross Perot.
Huh? There's a Ross.
Touché.
He's 96 years old, but finally, there's a Ross.
My 11-year-old son said touché to me the other day.
Wow.
He goes, ah, touché. I was like, wow. Yeah, what? Where'd you get that?
Just picked it up from you. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, well, I had four genital piercings, four penile piercings to be exact, at an Ampelang, an Oppenzravi, a Frenum, and a Prince Albert.
Yeah, what's the Robbie one?
The which one?
Oppenzravi.
Oppenzravi.
Oppenzravi goes.
Sounds like a prison in Iraq.
Yeah, it goes up and down through the head.
Oh, that's a good time.
What's it named after?
Actually, no clue.
Really?
I'd have to call my friend. I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
So that just goes straight through the head, up and down?
Yeah, it goes straight through the head. It actually lances through the urethra. Mm-hmm. So over time, you actually dribble out of both piercing holes as well as your urethra.
When you say both, you mean the top and the bottom one?
Yeah.
Really? And if you put your finger over the end of your urethra, it would just spray up and spray down?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Good times.
Yeah. Ross.
Which is why I find peeing in the sink a lot easier than anything else.
Hell, hey. You know what? I was about to dig into Ross, but...
it's a brethren.
Yeah, we're one. Yeah, if we're Indians, we do that handshake thing where we, you know, do that and we both look at each other. Handshake, we shake so hard, you know? Yeah. All right, listen. Obviously, something's wrong with you for putting all these holes in your penis, but get to your question.
Okay. Well, my Prince Albert, I started stretching it and stretching it and stretching it, and eventually the piercing was the size of almost a Bic pen, mm-hmm. and I woke up one day and the jewelry had migrated,
mm-hmm.
which to left Spain? The end of it split.
Florida.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah. Right?
It the penis had so the jewelry was gone, which meant your penis had broke out.
Yeah, basically it rejected the jewelry, which left a split from where the piercing originated all the way to the end of the urethra, leaving a open split.
Yeah. How far would you say? Well, give me the distance.
A little more than a quarter of an inch.
Okay. Yeah, about all
right. All right.
That's what I figured. So you have sort of a flap at the end of your penis.
Yeah, it's kind of like labia.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and so it exposed all those nerve endings, which makes it really, really sensitive.
Oh.
So if you're getting like fellatio.
Forget it.
Then it just makes it unbearable.
Yeah. All right. So I'm sure they'll deaden up as the years wear on.
It's been three and a half years.
Put a condom on.
Hold on. Yeah, but still. See, that's how you use. Perfect. That's how you use. Yeah, but still in the sentence.
So what's the question?
Is there any way, like a plastic surgeon or somebody, can sew that sucker back up? Might need to take a laser and, glue it back together?
I'll tell you, after having a Dr. Alter out here, really...
I tried to call when he was there, but I couldn't get through.
This guy turns coffee mugs into functioning vaginas.
Oh, really?
I mean, there's nothing.
So he could turn Ross's penis into a vagina, but he couldn't turn it back into a penis.
I'm sure he could make one hell of a broad out of you, Ross.
Yeah. Beautiful. I would
try to get hold of someone like that and get a consultation.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Again, the guy down here is what's his first name?
The Indian
Alter.
Guy.
I don't know what's Alter.
Oh, Alter. Oh, Gary Alter.
Gary Alter. Yeah. Does that kind of thing specifically, but I don't know what you gain by sewing everything back together.
Well, here, I'll tell you what. You're in Sacramento. You're going to have to either head north to
Alaska.
North to Alaska. No, wait a minute. Is San Francisco past Sacramento?
It's just, no. Yes, the further north.
A little further north, yeah. You're going to have
more
to
more west.
You're going to have to head into town is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'll bet Frisco, not a bad spot. There's got to be a couple of crackpot doctors over there that focus on the junk.
Yeah, I just don't see what he's going to gain from that. I'd be very surprised if the sensitivity was actually significantly improved.
Do not put a pox on his penis, bro. Yeah. Let's let him
he
head in.
He poxed it himself.
I know. And listen, all you screwballs putting all your bolts through your joint, please.
Really?
Use your brain. All right, go talk to a go to San Francisco, find a guy and talk to him. Mike?
Yeah.
19, Germany or Florida?
All right. This man was desperate for a drink, so he decides to mix gasoline and milk. Well, ends up he gets sick and throws up in the fireplace, burning himself severely.
Mm-hmm.
Germany or Florida?
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It feels made up. It really does.
Let's just say Germany.
We're going Germany, though.
Yeah, it's Germany. It's actually, I heard it on Bob and Tom. They said they got it after Drudge Report.
Okay. If you heard it on Bob and Tom, then it's got to be true.
Yeah.
Because most news organizations go to Bob and Tom when they're looking
facts.
When they're doing their fact checkers, we'll go to Bob and Tom to see if they can confirm things. So if you heard on Bob and Tom,
it is.
It happened. Yeah. If Bob and Tom said Dr. Drew died in a plane crash on his way home from Boston, you wouldn't be here. You would have to go back and do it. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. We're going to get on the computer and figure out who Bob and Tom are. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, it's good to have Dr. Drew back in the studio.
You're just saying that.
No. I just, you know, it's just, you know what? You're like comfort food, you know? Well, sure, it's not that good. It's not good for you. But you know what? You recognize it.
It works.
You know what it is. Really, saltines.
Yeah.
Saltines.
It's like a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Saltines at the operating room in the individual cellophane saltines. Yeah. What'd you grab those at the diner? Or, no one's head out and get some Triscuits. No, not gonna do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what'd the operation cost? $7,500.
I think there's actually the food has to go through dietary kind of thing.
What are you talking about?
The way the institutional stuff's evaluated.
There's got to be And by the way, who decided, they fed me saltines and I had this little operation. Who decided that saltines was, that you needed to be punished after an operation? Who decided, first off, I once heard medically that there's nothing worse than a saltine. It is, here's what saltine is. It's tons of salt, hence the salt in the team. It is just pure raw bleached flour, like the flour that's been stripped of any nutrients at all. It's a bunch of shortening. And
that's it.
And maybe a little bit of sugar. It's all the stuff you're not supposed to eat packed into one wafer. There's like zero redeeming. There's zero redeeming nutritional
value
in a saltine. It's just
volume.
It's just calories. You couldn't do worse than a saltine if you're feeding flan. Flan
would be worse.
Is better. Now, flan is...
Flan's better?
Flan would... There's flan is better
for you.
How about
the candy shaped like a cactus that's so popular in Mexico?
Even that would be better. Even that better.
Well,
I don't think nutritionally, saltine is down way, like next to gummy bear and mayonnaise packet on the nutrition pyramid. Like saltine, lard, salt, flour, shortening. That's it. Who decided that this is the staple of choice when you're recovering from something? Oh, hey, you're not feeling good? You should eat something that you would never eat normally because it's really that bad for you. And you haven't eaten since you're in the third grade. Here you go. Eat some of these. We're trying to nurse you back to health by giving you something that's not very good for you.
Right.
And it tastes like ass. And now you'll be you'll be like a mini little dust bowl inside your mouth. Here you go. Here's some of these. I know you're still drugged up. Enjoy struggling with the packet, by the way. You'll be crushing them, by the way, as you take them, attempt to take them
get
out
them
of their
all
packets.
Over your lovely gown.
Yeah, there you go. No Triscuits?
No.
No Wheat Thins? Nothing like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why are saltines? Why? I know you could get a metric ton of them for $1.75, but other than that, I really did. I heard a nutritionist say about the worst thing you could ever do is just drink diet soda and eat saltines.
Yep, there you go.
Okay.
Good times.
All right. But we'll serve them at the hospital, though. That'll be the cracker of choice. Cindy?
Yes?
Why the saltine, Drew? Why?
Because salt, when you're dehydrated, is good. And when you're trying to get calories in any way possible, that tends to be an efficient way to get it in.
Yeah, but the Wheat Thins got enough salt in them.
Yeah, true.
They're plenty chock full of sodium. Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, this question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I enjoy anal sex, but I always get bladder infections afterwards.
Why is it as soon as somebody mentions anal sex, everything that follows is funny?
I don't know why either.
She just says, but. And we're like,
but.
He said, but.
I'm not complaining about the feeling. I'm just complaining about the after effects. So my question is the urinary tract infection.
And you're getting that from anal sex, not from intercourse?
Well, it all happens in one night. So
yeah. Well, what you're doing there is tracking some of the debris from the anal activity forward.
Do you think a condom would help?
Oh, yes, use a condom after and changing condoms after the anal activity.
Let me tell you something, Cindy. Order is everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Okay.
Well, I've tried showering in between, but I guess the condom, I think, would be...
When do you start with the vaginal intercourse and then go ahead to the anal, or is it the other way around?
Yes.
You start with vaginal.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the urinary problem is vaginal sex, and I'm guessing it's vigorous.
Oh, yes.
That's a big thumbs up. And because, I'll tell you, the guys who are, the anal guys are passionate men.
No, I'm passionate. Those are aggressive men.
Okay, but here's the whole thing. Just the straight intercourse, vaginal intercourse, is...
No.
They got to crank it up a notch.
Yeah.
These are the guys...
I actually think those guys have deficiencies in their ability to experience arousal. They have to have super arousal in order to feel okay.
Yeah, these are like the guys who go to the Indian restaurant, got to get everything super boiling, super spicy hot in order just to taste anything.
Exactly.
And to the regular guys, it's like it's a distraction. It's
right.
Like, that's too much. It overtakes. No. This, you got a beautiful dish. You got a beautiful curry dish here. Why? I can't taste the chicken.
No nuance.
I can't taste the noodles or anything. No, it just seems like one big ball of lava, you know?
And in fact, all you're thinking about is that your mouth's burning.
This is uncomfortable. But yeah, they need everything turned up to 10, otherwise they don't know they're alive.
Yeah, and that may be where the infection's coming from.
All right, so Cindy.
The vigorousness.
Cindy.
Yes.
Have him dial it down a notch with the intercourse, and then go sick with the anal. Okay. You heard me.
That's Adam talking.
Well, I'm just saying he's got to reel it in a little with the vaginal.
He's got to be
careful.
Yeah, that's urethra's up front, okay?
Right.
And so what you're coming up against there is what causes the infection. And whether it's his hand or the penis, whatever, it's got to all be clean and not too vigorous, as Adam says.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those guys who are just the vengeance.
Yeah, it's good times.
It's like a penis, a weapon.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, the penis is like the warhead. My ass is the missile that's driving it. You know, my body would be like the
turbine,
the delivery device. Yeah, it's like the sub, or the silo. All right, Erica.
Yeah.
And by the way, if she continues to get urinary tract infections, some women have to use antibiotics every time they have sex.
That's me, Erica.
Yeah.
You're 26.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm on.
What's up?
I have noticed that I have excessive blood clots when I have my period.
Have a good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. Good times.
What do you mean excessive?
Well, I mean, I've noticed that they've just seemed to be getting bigger and bigger, and I guess yesterday I had one that was probably about the size of a half dollar.
Ooh.
That's actually not that big, believe it or not. And
it's not?
Maybe for her, but there can be a lot worse.
I mean, I've never had that before, and I have an IUD in.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's it?
It's supposedly in the wrong spot.
Well, there you go.
And is that what's causing it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
How do you know, by the way, that where does the blood clot come out?
What do you mean?
Is it on the
tampon.
It's on the tampon?
Well, yeah, but if you wear pads, I mean, when you use the washer, it comes out.
Like a Rorschach test, yeah. Yeah, on the pad. That's where
Chris, you're right there, buddy?
Hmm?
Oh, Chris just lost it there.
Yeah.
He almost barfed.
Speaking of pads, when are you moving out of your mom's pad and into your own tampon, Chris? Yeah?
Soon.
Soon?
Yeah.
Right.
You better learn how to turn the mic on before.
Turn the mic on? He's talking into a mic.
No.
It's not plugged in. Yeah?
That's how it goes.
Okay. All right.
Engineer. All right, engineer, mind you.
Engineer Chris, everybody. Talking into a Nerf microphone.
But, Erica, the fact that it's clots, some women have clots all the time, and they can be quite quite substantial. It's really an issue of how many tampons you're using in a day. Are you soaking through them? That kind of thing that makes it a really significant issue. But in your case, it's a change. You also have an IUD in. You know it's in the wrong spot. It's irritating the lining of the uterus, and that's why the extra blood formation. And then you get that taken care of.
All right. Let's talk to Megan. Oops.
That's Erica.
Yeah. Megan?
Yeah? Hi.
You're 27?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I just recently had a surgery. I actually recently had two. But I had an abscess on my rectum.
Oh, it's like Adam had.
Yeah.
Very painful.
Nice.
And,
I had a carbuncle.
It's an abscess, basically. Same thing.
Yeah. I didn't have to have surgery.
Yeah, but you did surgery on yourself.
That's right, because I'm a Renaissance man. Go ahead, Megan.
I guess it was from a boil. And
yeah, did now, when you say surgery, did they have to lance it? Were there stitches involved?
Just had to lance it, left it open so it could just close
packed
on its own.
They pack it.
What do they pack it with, fudge?
New gauze.
Oh,
new gauze.
Yeah, it's a little coming out.
It's a little gauze with a strip sticking out. They look like a wick sticking out the end.
So that it can be pulled out or
yeah,
so that it can drain?
Or repack it, yeah, so it drains.
I got it pulled out after my first surgery and, oh, hurt
that,
really
that hurts
bad.
Too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I could have fixed that thing for you by lancing it.
Yeah, but that's what they did. They packed it, basically.
Well, I got put to sleep and everything, the surgery.
You did.
Lanced right. it.
And by the way, you can tip the guy at the Starbucks for bringing out the medium decaf. Go ahead and tip the guy who packed the boil on the rectum.
Never happened.
I know, but I'm just saying, if there is tipping going on, that's the guy whose palm needs just a little bit of greasing.
Only if he serves you food.
Yeah. Did you get some saltines?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
Actually, after the second surgery. But the first surgery, the first thing I got was Jell-O.
Of course.
There you go.
Orange Jell-O.
All right. So now, hold on a second now, Megan. You're getting me fired up. I really think the only food that's worse for you than saltines would be Jell-O. And by the way, I've not had a micron of saltine or a piece of Jell-O has passed my lips in 30 years.
Yeah, I know.
Why all of a sudden do we have to have this stuff crammed up our ass? Why can't they just say a little bit of a
convention to it. It's right up there
with the gowns.
With the gowns, yeah, I agree with you.
How about this? All the tests that go on, all the stuff that goes on, all the chest x-rays and the blood tests and all the workups and all the paperwork and everything's in triplicate and all the stuff that goes on, all the hoops that need to be jumped through before you do any kind of surgery anymore. How about they say to you, what do you like? You Pabst Blue Ribbon man? You domestic or import man? What do you like? All right, and forget the booze part, but you like a saltine or what do you like? You like a Nilla wafer? How about one of them Petridge Farm cookies? Oh, everyone likes them. One with the little chocolate in them with the mint.
Right. And by the way, what do they do in other countries?
We can crap. Yeah, get green Jell-O and saltines.
Japan,
like,
and you get a saltine if you have a colonoscopy or whatever.
Probably get a nice piece of fish. Here's the thing. Like, really, the only thing that would make this experience worse is the green Jell-O and the saltines. Now I'm in hell. I was in pain. Now I've been broken. Yeah, how about someone just grabs a bag of the Petridge Farms and gives you that, and how about a little chocolate milk and some of that?
Right,
that sounds
good. It's not even the Petridge Farms so much as how about something with flavor?
Give me something I recognize.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, what do you think I'm going to do? Eat one of those nice Girl Scout cookies and start clutching my heart? Flatline? You're going to have to get the crash cart in there. Really? Is that going to kill me if I eat something? Is there something about it, something tasting good that's going to send me to the grave?
Right, that's the point.
Go down the goddamn 7-Eleven and get something. Just get something I recognize. How about you just give me a Baby Ruth bar? Give a couple of... How about a Snickers bar? There you go. It's chock full of peanuts. How about a Snickers bar and an orange juice?
There you go.
Yeah? I think it'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just something. Go get something. Megan?
Yes?
Sorry about the Jell-O you had to have.
Soft pretzel or something.
Ooh
soft pretzel. You're on
with
to something.
A little mustard on there.
No, listen.
Pop it in the microwave.
If you were Wetzel's Pretzels or somebody like that, there's a whole lot of business there for you. You deliver them to the hospitals.
Soft pretzel. Yeah. And yeah. by the way,
that's so genius.
You would never enjoy it like you, you'd
ever.
Be like, oh. Like, you know, like you eat one at the airport, it's like, oh, who cares? You're angry, you're in a rush or whatever. You, someone give you a nice soft pretzel. That's right.
Yeah.
You do it like you do the ballpark. Hot dog.
That's a genius.
Oh, Drew. You would go insane if they gave you a piece of pizza, right? A decent
well,
slab
but
of
that,
pizza.
Possibly you couldn't tolerate that.
I could.
Yeah, you but yeah.
I could. Yeah. All right, Megan.
Well, the heavyweight meals.
Go ahead, baby doll. So you had the ass surgery 2 times.
Yeah.
Same area? I mean, same trouble
yeah,
spot?
Same spot.
It filled up again?
The abscess was the size of a golf ball.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And the second time, I guess it's just the size of a thumbnail, so a little bit smaller, but it was inside. You know, he had to go past the muscle and everything. Oh. And it was a fistula tract.
So the golf ball was inside, not outside?
The golf ball was partly inside. I could see it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It hurts. It rubs on the other cheek when you walk, right?
It was terrible. I had a hard time really even walking to the emergency, you know.
I know. No, and no sympathy. No sympathy from the coworkers,
by the way.
I couldn't
sit in a wheelchair either. Couldn't sit. You know, it's terrible.
Like all ass related pain is just falls on deaf ears. People just
because they're laughing too hard. Yeah,
I know. All right, I feel for you. But what's the question?
My question is about anal sex. Of course, I know you're going to get questions about that tonight. But I was wondering, you know, should I just quit that altogether, or should I, you know, stop for like 6 to 8 weeks while I'm recovering?
Wait.
How long did the doctor say to stay off your anus?
He just said that most of the resting would be 2 weeks, but I would be probably totally healed in 6 weeks.
Wait, what is the question?
She wants anal sex.
That's probably how you got these problems.
Really?
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
He may have been in the wrong hole.
Listen, when people ask me what are the medical consequences, I put fistulas and abscesses on the list, and hemorrhoids and sphincter problems. Well, I mean,
really?
What's
why didn't the doctor tell me that? Why didn't the surgeon
Did you tell him you were having anal sex?
No.
Okay. You know, he saw you're probably wearing a nice sweater and a long skirt, and he just sort of, he seemed like, he probably thought it was off your menu.
Forget about off the menu. You'd be amazed at how people, if you just bring things up that are potentially on the list, people freak out.
Oh, really?
If you're not an anal sex type and the doctor brings it up, it's how dare you?
Oh,
what
no.
are you thinking?
Yeah.
And so, Megan, you got to give them a couple of clues that that's what you're interested in.
Tell them you're the anal queen and give them a heads up, would you?
Okay.
All right.
You what?
Yeah,
you have abscesses.
Here's
from the anal sex. By the way, Rob, I'm going to have to talk some...
I probably wouldn't crap again if I were her.
Just because of the potential of causing that problem?
Yeah, I would never crap again.
You just get a colostomy.
I get a colostomy bag. Yeah, or just stop eating, or it's exclusively Jell-O and saltines.
It's good.
Yeah, little pouch of punch, little straw you got to stuff through there like a like a retarded kid.
Nice.
By the way, what happens to you at the hospital? All of a sudden, you become a retard. Here's your cracker. Here's your punch. Here's your sack of punch. Here's that. No. Put that. No. Don't touch that. What happens? You're going.
You become retarded.
You can't eat food. You can't do anything. You can't try anything. I'm going to sit up. No. All right. Drew, real food at the. That's it. You know what? When I get this hernia surgery, I'm bringing my own goddamn crackers. And I'm going to start selling them.
You're going to go home right after that operation. Right afterwards.
Right after?
Yeah.
Because it's just that thing where you're there for like an hour. You got to hang for an hour.
It's going to be Wednesday. I've got to put that on my calendar. I'm going to be there. What time?
You got that weird cotton mouth.
You there at 5 in the morning?
No, I'm there at like noon.
Are you in afternoon surgery?
I don't know, Drew. What do you want me to do? They tell me what time.
You're coming at noon on Wednesday?
Coming at noon.
Perfect. I'll be there.
That'd be great.
I'll be there laughing my ass off.
Don't worry about
me,
brother.
And
keep my underpants.
Apologizing to all the nurses for the diatribes that you launch
with
into.
Gown. I want my
It'll
own.
Be such an embarrassment. I've got to preserve my dignity by going in there and defending. He doesn't. I don't know the guy, but I know he can be this way.
I got a radical idea with the hospital gown. There's a little something that was invented about 45 years ago. It's called Velcro. How about some goddamn Velcro on the strap?
I'm going to bring you one of my wife's nightshirts.
Do the stupid...
Make you wear that.
I got to do the stupid tie thing with the bow and the knot and the coming undone.
All the lighthouses on it. You look cute.
And by the way, you know, it's not even a... You know, you can tie a bow in a shoelace. Try tying a bow in a strip of cloth. It's always... It comes undone or it can't... You end up having to knot it up. It's the only way to keep the... And then it's a knot. And if you do the single knot, it comes undone immediately. You got to do the double knot. You got to wrench down on it a little. How about a little strap of Velcro? Huh? Velcro? Anybody?
Won't be enough. Not enough.
Drew, you just get there because when I'll come out in that gown, there's going to be complaining aplenty. I hope I get a boner. I do. What about the shaving, Drew? I got to do some shaving down there.
Oh, don't worry. They'll take care of that.
They will?
Oh, yeah.
Are they prepared? Because it's going to take more than the Lady Bic.
They got some, like, I'll bring the Ivy Shears.
I mean, they're going to need a couple of Mexicans and a weed whacker. I mean, they someone's going to have to hit it first. You know what I mean? You don't just get out there.
Print it down. Bring it down.
You got to take it down first.
Manageable bulk.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to...
They're going to have one of those, you know, those grinders that grind up branches and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to need one of those mulchers.
Right, a mulcher. Exactly.
All right. Let's take a break.
All right,
let's
take a
break. We're gonna get some coffee.
All right, we come back. Time, you know, I got completely over. I haven't done that in a long time. When I got completely in the wrong time zone.
I'm on Vicodin time.
No kidding.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in the house. Just what the doctor ordered, everybody.
That's what I'm talking about.
Long week.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Pain medication, head swimming.
I'm looking forward to this hernia thing because I remember the grief bulging. You gave me about that. I can't wait for you to sort of experience bulging. That one.
Bulging bowel.
Yeah. It's good.
Protruding. Coming forward. Yeah. Covered with hair.
Yeah.
Mess. I'm on death's doorstep, Drew.
Nah.
Well, maybe not on death's doorstep, but death's walk. You know, like death.
Death's driveway.
Damn, I'm on death's driveway.
Yeah, you're not quite on the doorstep yet.
But I'm inside the gate. I made it over the fence.
Yeah.
I'm on the driveway toward the front of the house, but I'm, by the fence.
Yeah.
And if you go up and you turn left, you can go in the path that goes in the front, or if you keep going straight, there's a kitchen entrance to death's house that you know, the regular shoes.
Good times.
All right. Let's talk to Paige.
Hi.
Yeah. Death tell you to wipe your feet, too. Paige?
Yes?
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I had a quick question. My family has a heavy addiction problem. It goes way back. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering the best way to do an intervention and the best places in Southern California to get somebody into a drug rehab.
Who do you want to intervene upon?
Oh, I got three. My two sisters and my father.
Wow. And do they do group interventions?
No, they really don't. And you're going to do this by yourself?
No, my mother and I will probably do it. My parents are divorced, but...
What drugs are they on?
Prescription meds, Vicodin, and a couple of pain killers, and so on.
And do they, any of them know that you're interested in their taking care of themselves?
Yeah, my two sisters have been through detox, but the problem's a little bit deeper than that, you know?
They've not participated in treatment.
Just detox. No, like, program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, interventions are usually quite expensive.
They are?
Yeah.
How much?
Up to $10,000.
$10,000? Why? Yeah. What are you paying for besides
the guy
that comes to your house?
For somebody really making sure that somebody gets into and through treatment. And it depends where they have to go. And sometimes people travel the world to do these interventions.
But you're not paying an intervention. You're not paying for the treatment, are you?
No. That's just to get somebody into treatment and through treatment. To have somebody really
shepherd them through.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to pay this guy. He's going to come to my house.
I'm not saying that all are that expensive, but some of the really good ones are, you know, at least five.
He's going to rally the troops.
He's going to rehearse. He's going to write scripts. He's going to get all the important people together, the necessary people. And you want somebody that has essentially 100% success rate of getting somebody into and through treatment. Mm-hmm. And those people come at a price.
And they got to leave that day? I mean, they got to go.
That's part of the deal. The bag is packed. You ambush them, and the car's running. The engine's running. They're outside. You push them in the car, and that's it. Pow. Gone.
Wow. Pack the bag.
And that person has to have selected where you need to go, what the most appropriate treatment is, lined up the doctors. It's quite an operation.
I would need some flan and some wheat thins.
Now,
because I couldn't live off that Jello and saltines, you know, all that time.
Having said that, Paige, really, the best thing you can do, and the thing in my experience that has the highest impact upon changing an addict, getting them to be willing to go to treatment, is for the important people in their life to go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and work the steps themselves. So if you and your mom go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and actually get out of the dance that you're in with your addicted family members, and you're going to need to do this anyway if your family does, in fact, go to treatment, you may find that after a few weeks or a couple months of you both working a program, they may suddenly be interested in going. It's amazing how that happens, but I've seen that over and over and over again.
Okay.
So you go to Al-Anon, you get a sponsor, you change, you no longer engage in the dance with them, and they will freak out about that. You'll see. They'll be looking for direction at that point.
All right, baby doll. Good times and good luck. Wow. That seems like they've never done a... There's been a TV series about an interventionist.
There is one coming up.
There is?
Yeah, except it's sort of about they're intervening on all kinds of behaviors. It's really kind of skewed. Apparently it's good, but I don't know.
Yeah? What's it coming on?
Like a cable channel, I don't remember which.
Yeah. Michael Chiklis is the interventionist. Pack your bag, you come with me.
Yeah.
All right, people. There's no doubt this is an intervention. We've got a prepared script, but I want you to have fun with it. All right, Pops, you're first. Let's go. Give me the reasons why I need to get into rehab. I love you, son. I didn't believe it, man.
Drop down and give me five.
Drop down and give me five, Pops. Corolla says to pack some wheat thins. All right, let's talk to,
Go ahead, whatever.
KJ?
Yeah, okay.
I saw artificial insemination. I want to talk to KJ?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yeah. I want to have a baby, but I don't want it from a guy, you know.
You don't want to have sex?
I have sex, but I don't want to get... I don't know. I don't like guys.
You don't like guys?
No.
Are you lesbian?
I don't know. I just know that I want to have a baby, and I want to know, like, how can you get, like, information on getting artificial...
What if you have a boy?
Huh?
What if you have a boy?
That's a good point.
You hate men. What if you have a boy?
I don't know. He's a boy.
Hold on, by the way. Really,
I'm not a raccoon.
I would...
No.
I would sooner give a child to a family of raccoons.
I'd certainly do that before I'd give her a raccoon.
I would rather give her like a armed Trident missile, like with a nuclear warhead on it, than give her a kid. I really would. It would be more responsible.
Yeah,
it really would.
Yeah,
it could take out a city the size of Chicago. Still. She could keep it in a room.
Yeah.
And still be a more responsible proposition. KJ.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm responsible. I mean, I live with a roommate. We pay, you know, bills and everything like that. Got a job.
No, KJ, listen. Where
do you work?
Do
you do something with food?
What?
Do you do something with food?
For your work?
Do I do something with food? No,
work.
I'm a telemarketer.
Telemarketer. Oh. That's not having a job. It's just not having
a
job. But it's not actually having a job. There's a difference.
It's a part-time job, though.
Okay. Why do you hate men so much, baby doll?
I don't really hate them. It's just that I don't really trust them that much either because, I don't know, my dad, when we grew up, he was real, you know, religious, like those people that I think he thought women were whores or something because that's all he called me. So, and then I didn't see him for about 7 years, I think.
He was religious, but he called you a whore.
Yeah, you know, like I couldn't wear pants and stuff like that. So.
And then he abandoned you after that.
Yeah, because him and my mom got a divorce. So.
Did he physically abuse you?
No, like not. like the sexual kind, but mm-hmm. if, let's say I made him, like, we got mad, if he got mad or something, mm-hmm. he would, you know, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
What was his,
that's physical abuse, KJ.
I'm going, I know, was he Jew? He was Jew, right?
He was what?
Had to be. What was his religion, KJ?
I think like a Pentecostal or something.
Uh-huh.
Or apostolic or whatever.
All right. Where is he now? Is he still religious?
Yeah.
I was supposed to meet him actually about 3 months ago, and he stood me up, and I had a mental breakdown. Like, I went to the mental hospital.
Okay. Well, listen, KJ, here's the thing, baby doll. You got to get a real job. Got to get a little education. Maybe a little therapy for having a screwy dad. And no kids for...
10 years.
10 years. All right. There you go.
Then you can get artificially inseminated. That's no problem. Right. No problem. But not now.
As you know, if you listen to the show, I've really just had an ass full of almost every religion.
But now that you've had your cervical plexus snipped, you're it's all
now,
over.
Now it's over.
Yeah.
Now it's over between me and my maker. Here's the part where I've really had an ass full with the religions. Society's tolerance of it. And it's even further than tolerance. It's a sort of... It's a reverence / false respect. It's the way... it's sort of the way super guilty white people treat black people. Oh, no, that's great. Oh, no, that's great.
I read Clinton's
great.
Book while...
No, no,
while,
that's
while
great.
I should be talking about this all night, by the way.
It's what super left-wing... super left-wing, apologetic white people, what they do with black people. No, you guys shouldn't have to... No, you shouldn't have to get a score on the test. You shouldn't... You should go... No, you should... You don't have to be qualified. You should do. Because you feel so bad. And there's this weird sort of thing. I've had an ass full of it. I'm done with it. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of all the kooky. I've had an ass full of the Middle East and their nutball religions. I was skipping rope the other night. When I skip rope, I just put my headphones on. I just watched the TV with the sound down. I saw the big letters. Trouble in the Middle East? And I thought, trouble in the Middle East. What a shock. It's shocking. But everything's so great. Yeah. They're such fine. The religions, it's a trouble in the Middle East, Drew.
Yeah.
Trouble.
Amazing. Shocking.
Shocking? Amazing or shocked?
Shocked.
You've been out of town, so you didn't know. I mean, I'm sure you thought everything was just going along swimmingly over there.
Of course, it's
such a wonderful culture, and the religions. It's wonderful. It's all wonderful.
This reminds me of the Bill Clinton thing, because his BS with religion and stuff. I read his book while I was on vacation.
Yeah, he's full of crap, too.
Adam, listen, there's so many things in that book that blew me away in terms of how primitive he is. I mean, I was shocked, and I thought I understood the guy. First of all, he's severely racist.
He is.
Everybody he described as, well, Joe Smith, the Italian down the street, and Mr. Smith, the Irish guy, and this is the black guy. It's like, people were not of sort of certain ancestry. They were that.
Wow.
And that's how he identified them as that.
Well, I'm starting to come around on the guy. You've convinced me.
Crazy stuff. And then you realize, he was raised in the South. That's how they think in that parts of the South still. And mother dropped him off for a few years with the grandparents. Just dropped him off. She had to go do some training for nurse anesthesia.
He idolizes his mom, who was just
severe opiate addict.
Yes.
And
alcoholic, who was abusive. Please.
But I mean, and
how religion do you, and, but by the way,
none of his parents ever went to church, but yet he did with his friend. They went down to listen to sermons.
He's very religious.
What?
I know.
His family never goes to church and the child goes.
You're a married guy. You had an affair going for 12 years. Deeply religious? Deeply? And you're raping the intern with the cigar. Deeply? Deeply religious? If you do believe it, you should be institutionalized. So here's my choice I'm giving you. You either are a liar. I'm going to 3 choices. One is liar. 2, about your devout religious
delusional
religion. 2, delusional. 3, you're just insane. Or 4, a liar.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
How is it these guys that are deeply religious can rape interns with cigars while they're their wife? The marriage, the sanctity, the bond of marriage. Is that nothing religion loves more than that? What are you doing with the cigar, buddy? I've just had an ass full of all you idiots with your retarded religion. Just shut up. Just keep it to yourself. And society, let's stop being so goddamn tolerant of it. Well, idiots out preaching all the time. Bush is the same way.
Let's refine this. Hang on a second. Religion is something humans seem to need.
Yes, they need it.
And it helps them.
Right.
Would you not agree that really what you're complaining about is orthodoxy? People that say it's so, and we can't discuss it any other way. They can't be rational about it.
Yeah.
You can be spiritual and religious and not orthodox. I mean rigid.
Yes.
Right? Or dishonest. You don't want that either.
I'm tired of society giving a free pass to everybody because of their so-called religion, and I'm tired of the sociopaths like Clinton who go out and do their thing and then convene with their clergy and they're deeply religious men. And okay, well, I see he made peace with his God; he's fine. No. I don't let him off just same way as you wouldn't let off a guy who killed somebody who gets to repent for his sins. I've just had an ass full of it. Wow. These guys are liars. I don't believe them for a second. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Clinton believes in anything. I really don't. And if you are so deeply religious, why are you writing a book? Why are you on a campaign trail? Why are you out taking pictures with people? Just go find a cabin and read the Bible, would you? And why don't you spend 10 minutes with your wife, for Christ's sake? She's your backbone. She's your life. You couldn't have done anything without her. Why don't you spend 10 minutes with her then? Why don't you guys just go get a place and have dinner? Turn the TV set off. Read the Bible together and shut up. Please. He's sitting there. You know, I saw the 60 Minutes piece on the guy. They're on TV lying to everybody. By the way, you just get to lie? You get to lie your ass off, and then all of a sudden, oh, no, it's cool. You're writing a book. That's great. There's a book, how many chapters on you lying? And why do we need, we need to believe you now? I got the tape from you on 60 Minutes in, 91, just sitting there lying your ass off with your wife right next to you, lying her ass off. All's forgiven? Oh, that was the old you? Oh, yeah. That was about, you were a kid. You're 46. Yeah, wait, you're in your 40s. Yeah, that was a different time. That was whole 10 years ago. You're a liar. It's just a good. Let's go get your Bible and go to church, would you? And shut up. Got enough money. Spend 10 minutes with your wife. You love her so much. You love Jesus so much. You love the church so much. You love your Bible so much. You love your wife so much. Go get a Bible and your wife and go to church. Leave us alone. What does everyone love Clinton so much for? He's obviously a sociopath. I feel bad for the guy. The guy was abused. He was abused as a kid, and now he's a sociopath. It's extremely obvious. And why are we listening to him? All he does is lie. He's great. He's great. He's great. Okay, that's right. Go buy his book. What do you need to read about? What's in there? What do you need to know?
Why did I read it?
Why does anyone need to read it? An alcoholic mom abused him, and he lied to everybody.
Because I was curious as to what
any revelations?
No. Well, yes. If you read it.
And by the way, forget about Monica Lewinsky. What about the 12-year relationship he had with What's-Her-Nose? 12 years.
Here's the, if you were
he's having a relationship with somebody.
Listen to this.
He's a sociopath.
If you were going to write a book about your life. What would a major component of that life be?
Complaining about Bill Clinton.
But in other words, there'd be like your family of origin, yeah. Right? There'd be your sort of education and childhood experiences.
Oh, would they hate it?
And then wouldn't you put in your like your relationship with females and things, how that went, how it developed?
Yeah,
No, but you'd put it, if you were telling your life story.
I'm just thinking about my poor family if I was writing about them.
But it'd be your life story, right?
All right.
Not one mention about relationship with women.
Hmm.
What? Until Hillary.
Until Hillary. Nothing.
Well, there's like a paragraph on some girl during law school.
He just doesn't want to piss her. He just kisses her ass. Every interview the guy does, all he talks about is Hillary and how she's his strength and his backbone and everything. Yeah, why you have a 12-year relationship with some other chick then? You love her so much. Where is she, by the way? Why don't you guys spend any time together?
I'm bringing that book in tomorrow. I'm sure it's some stuff. It's amazing.
You're in love. You're in love. Yeah. Okay. Here's who you love. You love Jesus and you love Hillary. Meanwhile, you're raping chick with a cigar and you're having a 12-year affair with somebody else. Who else do you love? I hope. Is it me? Because what are you going to do? Club me to death? Yeah, all right. It's just everyone, please stop paying attention to these liars. Start listening to me. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Fresh off his trip to Beantown. Drew hates Clinton, everybody.
I don't hate him. I'm just... it just refueled my... Indignation.
At
the lack of people's willingness to really talk realistically about who he is and what he's done. And us buying, as you say, his lies.
Yeah.
I'm not even harsh enough to call him lying. Distortions.
He's just damaged goods. He just got raised by a crazy, horrible mom, and now he's a mess. That's just the way I look at it. He needs some therapy. Aaron?
Hey.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
I actually, by the way, ended up feeling sorry for the guy reading the book. I felt like really sorry for him.
I had a couple, two questions. My wife's pregnant 7 months now, mm-hmm. and I heard towards the end of pregnancy, you should have as much sex as you can to help her out during the birth.
No.
That's ridiculous.
You're just going to...
What do you mean, help her out?
It's going to yoke out her vagina.
What? That is
like
ridiculous.
Loosen her up? Or
that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Aaron, please.
You got to put some mink oil on her vagina, too, and have your dad park the car on it.
First of all...
Yeah, you work it in like a catcher's mitt. You know what I mean?
Couple things.
I put a ball in there and put a belt around her hips at night.
There's a chemical release called relaxin that sort of loosens all the joints. And the pelvis, even the joint that holds the pelvis together loosens. So that area is already extra loose.
Relaxin sounds like one of those BS chemicals like talking about... our new herbal tea now with relaxing.
Yeah. It's a chemical they had not identified when I was in training, so they just sort of gave it a name. Mm-hmm. And the baby's head's coming down the pike there. Your penis, sorry, pales. And the whole thing will dilate
Speak
by virtue
yourself,
of neurobiology.
Brother.
But on the other hand, women tend to get very aroused during the last part of pregnancy. That's when they're really at their most... receptive. Or more than that, tumescent. They're very tumescent during that time.
Brittany?
Hello.
Gotta loosen them up, Drew.
Now, you can also induce birth a little bit.
You can.
So if you have a high-risk pregnancy going, you gotta be careful. Brittany, what's up?
Yeah.
15. Go ahead.
I have been dating this guy for about 2 months, and he's 18.
Yeah.
And, tomorrow we're supposed to hang out, and the whole time we've been dating, my rule has been 16 for
Perfect.
Having sex because
Perfect.
I'm a virgin.
Perfect.
And
17. Let's push it up a little bit.
And he is going to college in Tennessee, and I'm in Michigan right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if I want to have sex with him.
Would you like us to decide for you?
I don't. Well,
we'd be happy to, actually.
No.
You don't want to have sex with him.
Whoa.
You've known him for 2 months.
Blah, blah.
In the big scheme of things, this guy is not going to go on. It's normal for these things to break apart. He's
going
to college.
You're going to have sex. You're going to bond.
Oh, you're going to feel horrible when he leaves.
He's going to release that relaxing in you, and then he's wheeling off to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Do not do it. You'll regret it. I guarantee it. Make a pact with us. You will not do
it. It's not your daughter, Drew.
Please.
When is he leaving to Tennessee?
He's leaving July 8th.
July 8th. Oh, that's too soon.
No.
Yeah, here's the thing. Listen to me. I'm a genius. If you were going to tell me that he was leaving in September sometime and that this was going
to
be a summer relationship kind of thing and you were going to turn 16 in 3 weeks...
I just turned 15.
Do not do it.
You're more 14 than you are 16, number one. Number two, this guy's out of here in a week and a half. That's it. Not even a week and a half. It's pretty much a week he's out of here.
Yeah.
That's it. No sex. It's going to screw you up, and you'll regret it your whole life.
You will.
Your whole life, and maybe beyond. You may be... in God's mansion, because he's got a mansion, and the streets are paved with gold, and you'll be up there, and you'll be at his hem of his garment there, and you'll be regretting it. Mm. That's how long it's going to last. And then that keeps going because you never die.
Right, of course.
And then you get reunited with people you love, but not the people you don't like.
Yeah.
They don't get
or the 60 billion people lived before you. Or the ancient man.
The 60 billion?
Or the...
Yeah, no, there's not going to be any people that are involved, like, in certain stages of evolution.
No,
you know
no,
that
they
chart?
Yes, where yes. Well, the
yeah, they won't, no, they won't be up there.
No, only the Homo sapien post... Egyptian times.
That's right.
Yeah.
And pets are allowed, I've found out.
Pets, but not other, wild animals.
Not other animals.
And not
there'll
animals.
Be no grizzlies or manatees or anything like that. There, but there will
Kitty
be
cats.
There will be dogs and kittens, but no full-grown cats.
Right, right, right.
They didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
They're see if they can vote them in next year, but it doesn't look good for them. So there'll be pets, only your beloved pets, not ones you didn't like that much. Or ones that got rabies and died in the woods, and then it's a little tricky. The point is, there's some animals, and then there'll be you,
but no mange,
and there'll be some guys, but not everybody.
Yeah,
okay, and not people you don't like. It'll make sense when you
and get everyone it. Will have had aristocratic history. No peasants.
That's right.
Although most humans have been peasants
That's
and farmers.
Right. That's right. No. You're talking about reincarnation.
Oh,
that's different. This is going to happen.
I see.
All right, we'll take a little break. Yeah, and the cripples and stuff will be healed, so you might not recognize it. Because there's a guy in a wheelchair that you knew from high school.
And the people that died of Alzheimer's will have their brain.
They'll be smarter. Yeah. And unclear how old they'll be, but they'll be up there.
Well,
they'll be the age they were before they got the Alzheimer's.
No, they'll be the age that your memory tells you they should be.
All right, I got it. I got it worked out. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, well. We got to finish the show because then Drew and I got to get on the cell phone.
And
we got
talk.
Another 25 minutes of saltine.
Bill Clinton.
Not nearly done with the saltine diet, Ryan. Really? That's it. That's the best we can do. All right. God bless you for tuning in. Patton Oswalt in here and Brian Posehn, two of the funnier guys you're ever going to hear on this radio show tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.